Well, welcome back, everyone, to our Crossroads Church small group ministry. We're continuing our journey through the book of Revelation. But for this particular series that we're offering in the homes, or if you're doing it at the church or at work, we're actually taking some rather tough questions that pertain to the book of Revelation, and we're calling this Explanations in Revelation. And one of those questions that we received centers around really a prominent group of people. And so here in session four, we're going to be unpacking the explanation of the 144,000, that number that's represented in the book of Revelation, primarily in chapter 7 and chapter 14. We're going to identify ultimately who that 144,000 is in reference to, as well as the impact of it in God's end time plan, and how also we could draw some encouragement right where we are now, okay? And so let's start off here. The objective for this lesson, again, is to identify and determine the impact of this number, this 144,000. That's the question. What is this number? What is it connected to? Is it symbolic? Is it actual? Is it people? Does it refer to blessings? Is it a time sequence? What is going on? Because we know there are a lot of codes in the book of Revelation. We also know that much of the book of Revelation, as we've noted time and time again, out of the 404 verses, 278 of them allude or reference the Old Testament. So is there some type of Old Testament code that's being put forth by this number? Well, let's just answer this right away and just say it very clearly, that according to Revelation chapter 7, which is the first mention of the 144,000. And then in chapter 14, which gives us some awesome details about this number, we could see without a shadow of a doubt, and this is what our church believes, and this is what we're sharing with you here, is that this number, 144,000, is a reference to actual people. And these are 144,000 Jewish believing evangelists that God will raise up during the tribulation. They'll be right in the tribulation, and they'll be sharing the message, as we're told when we read these accounts, the eternal gospel, the great message of the atoning sacrifice of Christ and the resurrection. And they're going to be proclaiming that. And as we've said before in our prior studies of the book of Revelation, as well as the devotions that we have on video for the entire book, by the way, there's going to be incredible fruit. In other words, there's going to be a lot of people that come to Christ in the tribulation. And you may have heard through false religions, like say that of the Jehovah's Witnesses, that maybe this number they say represents the total number. There's a cap on who's going to get saved. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. There's no evidence of that, that there's a cap on it. What we do know is that these are actual people, and they represent the 12 tribes of Israel. So 12,000 from each tribe. And you do a little math here and you add that up, multiply that up, and that gets us to the 144,000. So they have an incredible impact in the end times. And so we know their identity. They are Jewish believing evangelists. Very clear when we study chapter 7 and chapter 14. And I want to now underscore really the importance of their presence and how God is going to use them. And so really, it's exceptional. It's extraordinary when you think about it, okay? And we're going to flash some of these verses up on the screen in just a moment. But I want to make this statement to you, is that as you begin to read this, okay, and we'll say this again at the end, remember the context of where we've come from. We've talked about the unholy Trinity, right, in the previous chapters. What a dark time that was. Now we come into chapter 14 of Revelation, and once again, we're reintroduced to the 144,000. And so we go from doom and gloom to really, truly a bright moment here in the book of Revelation. And so let's look at these extraordinary facts concerning these believers, okay? And again, you have chapter 7 and you have chapter 14. And so I want to read to you, before we go any further, the account, because we'll primarily deal now with chapter 14 in just a moment. I want to read to you what it says in Revelation 7:4, okay, about the 144,000. And so here's the verse. It's in the handout that we've provided, and we'll have it on the screen for you as well. And so here's the initial description here of the 144,000. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. So that's chapter 7, verse 4. Now we jump over to chapter 14, and we'll read verse 1. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. What a beautiful sight that must be, okay? And with him, notice this, were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads, okay? Again, as we close chapter 13, we know about the mark of the beast that's being administrated, that will be widespread. You won't be able to buy and sell. You won't be able to participate in the economy unless you have the mark of the beast. It's all part of the enemy's plan we see in the second half of the tribulation. His true colors come out. On the contrary, though, God's people here, these 144,000, they're going to have the mark of God. And that is going to be incredibly, not only symbolic, but essential in terms of their extraordinary abilities and how God truly has his hand on them. And so let's talk about these extraordinary facts then, okay? So you have chapter 7. We jump now into chapter 14. And we want to share seven things here, okay, about these 144,000 Jewish believing evangelists, okay? Here's the first one. It's in your notes, and we'll flash it up for you as well. The 144,000 will have extraordinary, and the word here that you want to key on is protection on their life by receiving God's mark, okay? Let me just explain that. That there again is going to be just unprecedented evil that's going to take place in tribulation. You know, we think it's difficult now, and it is. We see evil agendas manifesting itself. We see people being instruments of the devil right before our eyes, and that's bad. That's terrible. But that doesn't even compare with really the debauchery, the abominations on a worship level, the deformation of the things of God, but also the people of God, the program of God, all of those things. We're going to see that, and you know, hopefully we'll be looking at that from our vantage point as we know from heaven. But we're going to see as we read through the book of Revelation, as you do it on your own, I mean, just ungodliness is going to take place, outright ungodliness. And it's going to happen at just an extraordinary level. And so God's going to have to provide extraordinary protection for these evangelists, because if the devil, the unholy trinity of the dragon, you know, the false prophet, as we know in the Antichrist, if they hate Christians, how much more are they going to hate people who are trying to share the message of the gospel like these 144,000? They are going to have a bullseye on their back, but there is nothing the enemy could do to take them out, which is extraordinary. And as you get to the end, it's not 1,000 or 139,399. No, all 144,000 survive whatever the enemy is going to throw at them. That's remarkable. And so God's going to put extraordinary protection on them, okay? Keep that in mind. The second extraordinary fact, the 144,000 will have extraordinary participation in the worship of God. Now, before we read the verses, one of the goals, you might say, what are the goals of a pastor? Well, one of the goals of a pastor is that people would come. People would participate in the church. You know, contrary to misconception, it's not about envelopes and finances. Maybe that's what's kept you away from coming through the doors of the church. That's a lie. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's participation. It's fellowship. It's koinonia. That's what the word means, fellowship, participation. That you would participate not just in the programs of the church, but that you would participate in a move of God, that you would be worshiping God weekly, that you would be seeking God in prayer, in Bible study, in opportunities to serve, that you would be a participating believer. That is the goal. It should be the goal of anybody who leads a church, anybody who works at a church. You want people to be connected to the things of God. That's really what it's all about, because that brings God glory and honor when people do that, by the way. You know, we could give lip service and say, we just want to honor God. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that primarily by being in a participatory relationship with God and his church and his people. And we're going to see that that's beautiful, and that should be for every church, for every age. But there's going to come a time in really what's going to seem like the darkest time in the history of mankind, that there's going to be extraordinary participation, because this 144,000 is going to worship God. Look what it says here in Revelation 14, 2-3. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of a mighty ocean waves and the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. The great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God, before the four living beings and the 24 elders. And this ties into the beginning of the book, the representation of the early of those churches there. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. This is a redemption song. And I love how this is set up here, and it talks about, you know, the waves and the rolling thunder. You know, God is sovereign, right? He sees it all. He knows it all. He knows when every wave is going to crash against the, you know, come against the sand. He knows all about it. He knows every crackling sound of thunder that's going to happen. And it's interesting here that John, and in conjunction with the angel, this is being described, the Holy Spirit, this is being described as perfect harmony of a harpist coming together, you know, just a great choir. That's what it sounds like. And this, and again, what, you know, what, it sounds great when you have a couple hundred people singing, right, on a Sunday, or a couple thousand people singing. How about 144,000 joining in with those who are in heaven singing? It's going to be marvelous. It's going to be extraordinary. Extraordinary participation. That is going to be something that categorizes this special group. Here's number three. The 144,000 will have extraordinary purity in the tribulation period. You have to realize that in the tribulation period, there will be undoubtedly intense temptation, unprecedented immorality. You know, again, we have lots of immoral things going on right now. We have immoral people leading. We know that. We have immoral education that's coming across the pond from other countries that's infiltrating our school systems. It's coming. It's really already here. It's just being formalized now as we speak. So, and again, that's bad, but that will be nothing compared to the gross immorality that will take place. You know, the church will have been removed. Those who contend for that which is righteous, that which is for the well-being of our children, that's not going to be here anymore, okay? And so you are going to have unprecedented sexual immorality, okay? At clips that we have never seen before. There will be no sense of righteousness. There just won't be. And if you dare speak against it, you'll be executed, okay? And that is the world that we are moving towards. That's why it should come of no surprise right now that we live in this quote-unquote selective politically correct culture right now that seems to only be politically correct when it favors its own agenda. That is a surefire sign that we are setting up, and we're getting closer. We don't know when. It's not our job to know when the rapture is going to happen. We know when the rapture happens. We know that then for sure the 7 years of tribulation will take place. But it's not our job to play guessing games. It's our job just to see that the world is conditioning itself for immorality more and more every day. And in the tribulation, the 144,000 will operate in ways of extreme purity. And we know that this purity is in reference to things of a sexually deviant nature. Because look what it says in Revelation 14:4, the first part of it. It says, they kept themselves as pure as virgins. And so they were not giving themselves in to the sexual immorality of the day. They weren't even married, okay? They were laser focused on the things of God. And really, purity goes hand in hand with victory in other areas of your life. If you want to achieve purity in other parts of your life, look no further. If you want to experience victory, look no further rather than purity. Purity and victory. I'm mixing the two up. They're intertwined, that's why. In my mindset, my sinful mindset, those words are intertwined, and they should be in yours as well. Victory, purity. Purity, victory. They go together. like a horse and buggy. They go together. There will be no movement in your life unless there's purity. And God is going to, you know, do a great work in this 144,000, but we see that extraordinary purity is part of the mix here. Here's another one that we want to share with you here, this fourth one. The 144,000 will have an extraordinary pursuit of the Lord. They're going to pursue God. They're going to, you know, how many times are we told to seek God, to come to the Lord Jesus? How many invitations do we have? They're not just evangelical invitations for people to come to Christ. You know, maybe it's for you to rededicate your life. Maybe it's for you to, you know, to get off of your backside and get plugged in and start serving. Whatever it might be, the 144,000 will have an extraordinary pursuit of God. In other words, they're going to be incredibly loyal. Look what it says here in Revelation 14, 4b. They were following the Lamb wherever he goes. What does that mean? That they will not be swayed. Again, there's going to be a lot of pressure and temptation to follow the Antichrist. The 144,000, once again, will be loyal. Here's the fifth one. The 144,000 will have extraordinary purpose. You know, studying multiple commentaries, there's some spillover here in what I'm sharing, particularly here in this point, that there is an incredible purpose that they have. They're going to serve a purpose for God. Look what it says here in Revelation 14, 4c. They have been purchased from among the people of the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. You know, when we talk about purpose in church, we're not talking about you and I just doing what we want. That's how people operate. I found my purpose. I'm going to do what brings me enjoyment. Whoa, 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 back the truck up. Understanding your purpose in God starts with you knowing that God has redeemed you. That's where your purpose starts, that God has redeemed you unto himself for his use. And it doesn't matter, you know, what you do. It matters who you belong to. And the 144,000 are a reminder of that. And usually when you get that right, that helps you to fulfill, you know, those specific things of what you're going to do. But it starts here with knowing I've been redeemed by the Son of God, that my purpose is to bring him glory. And the 144,000 on an extraordinary level are no different. Here's the sixth one. The 144,000 will have an extraordinary precision. What do we mean by that? Well, Revelation 14:5 says this: they have told no lies. How many of our sins are attached to a lie, right? You know, are these guys perfect? I mean, no lies coming out of their mouth. That's just extraordinary. And again, the mouth speaks from the heart, okay? And so there is something about this group, this extraordinary group, okay? They have extraordinary precision, that there's no fabrication. There's no embellishment. There's no exaggeration, anything they say. They are laser focused on preaching the message of the gospel. No wonder the Antichrist hates them so much, okay? It doesn't take a Bible scholar to figure out why they are a hated group from the dark side, okay? And then here's the last one. The 144,000 will have extraordinary perfection in what they do. Look what it says here in Revelation 14, the second part of verse 5. They were without blemish. And again, consider the context. They did not fall victim to the lures of evil and temptation, you know, the guise of the enemy, okay? They didn't fall prey to it. They remain, once again, faithful and loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we close, we've identified the 144,000. We've also now talked about their impact, which will be incredible. They will lead a revival to the likes that no one has ever seen before, okay? There will be just incredible windfall of fruit and salvation that comes from their efforts, okay? They're going to have the power of God behind them. Really, if you had to sum up all seven of these extraordinary facts, I guess we could have saved a lot of time and just said, they're going to have extraordinary power, okay? Thank you for coming. You know, move on to cake and coffee and juice or whatever you're serving at your small group, okay? They're going to be backed by the power of God, and they're going to unleash this message of the gospel in an incredible way. We know there are a lot of people going to fall prey to the enemy, but we also know a lot are going to get saved. Now, here's the expectation then for you and I, okay? Again, as I mentioned and referenced earlier, considering the darkness of chapter 13, again, the unholy trinity, the dragon, who's Satan, the false prophet, who represents the spirit, say, in our holy trinity, the antichrist, self-explanatory, who he's trying to give a false representation of, the wickedness of chapter 13, the false the idolatry, the false worship, the abominations of chapter 13, okay? And all that is, that will be taking place in the tribulation. Then you come over to chapter 14. What a contrast. What a beautiful contrast. And it really emphasizes for you and I, here it is, here's the expectation that we are more than conquerors in Christ, that we need to be living in a victorious mindset. The 144,000 are a reminder of the victory that we have in Christ. Chapter 14 shares the presence of the Lamb, the angels, the redeemed believers, the authentic worship, and thus symbolizes for you and I and for every believer victory over Satan, over sin, and the entire evil, sinister world that the enemy is in charge of. You know, he's the prince of the air right now, and we know that he will just have full reign in the tribulation. But God is greater. And if that is true in history, what will become history's darkest hour, how much more true is God's reign in your life right now? Let us stand on the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us work in the spirit of this 144,000 now. Let us be pure. Let us participate. Let us be people of truth. Let us be loyal. Let us be faithful. All these things to the glory of God. And may we be people who right now are spreading the gospel. And to God be the glory for the fruit that will come from our efforts. May God bless you, and we'll see you next time.